Let's pray together. Almighty God, pour out your Spirit on all who are gathered in this place today, that you might open our hearts and minds to your word for us today, that it might take root there, grow us, transform us, that we might live for you and might bear fruit for your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. I invite you to listen for God's word. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb, bringing the fragrant spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming, bright clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces toward the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but he has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over to look inside, he saw only the linen cloth. Then he returned home, wondering and filled with awe with what had happened. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. To be continued. Sometimes we read those words at the end of a book or a TV show or a movie. They're letting us know that while the story might be finished for a moment, it's not finished forever. Something else is coming next. I can remember my dad reading Hardy Boy mystery books. Anybody else Hardy Boy mystery books? Yeah, my dad reading Hardy Boy books to me when I was in elementary school, and lots of the chapters in those books end with your classic cliffhanger. And my dad would often get to the end of the chapter knowing how much I wanted to just keep going to the next one, close the book and grin as he said, "To be continued." So to be continued is like a giant "and" at the end of something. Like, all of this happened and something else is coming. There's more, maybe even a whole lot more. Jesus' resurrection is God adding an "and" to a story we thought came to an end. It is the greatest to be continued in the history of the world. We're gathered here on this glorious Easter Sunday because God in Christ confronted sin and death, endured their worst on the cross, and said, "Yes, and there's more. There's a whole lot more." This story is to be continued. As I'm undoing death and making things new, there is resurrection, there is hope, there is love persevering, new life with me forever, a whole new creation. But it sure seemed like the end, and it wasn't supposed to end like this. Luke tells us that women came to the tomb early in the morning. The burial had been done in haste 3 days earlier. So now on the day after the Sabbath, these women brought burial spices to finish taking care of Jesus' dead body. I can only imagine these women who had stuck with Jesus feel like they are there to close the book. It wasn't going anywhere anymore. You don't go to a tomb because you expect to meet someone alive. They weren't going with spices saying to themselves, "Well, I hope Jesus is alive, but if not, I'm glad we have these burial spices just in case." They had experienced the horror firsthand of what had happened just days before, days earlier, when it seemed pretty clear that death and darkness had won. End of story. They had seen their teacher, their friend, their leader nailed to a cross, an instrument specifically designed for execution. They had seen his lifeless body taken down, placed into a tomb, and sealed with a great stone. I mean, death was final after all, right? I mean, the ultimate, the end. Except that with God, it was a great big and, a to be continued. When they got to the tomb, the stone was rolled away, and not only that, the tomb was empty. The women arrived to see a world that had fundamentally changed. They have stepped into a dramatic, to be continued moment, even though they don't know it yet. This space that's supposed to hold dead bodies didn't do its job. Jesus is not there, and they really don't know what to make of this. After all, tombs are supposed to be resting places for dead bodies, not wombs for new resurrection life. Tombs are about the end, not to be continued. And then two angels appear. The women fall to the ground as these messengers of light ask them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Just as he said, do you not remember what he told you when he was with you, that he was going to be handed over to sinners, crucified, and after 3 days rise?" In other words, why are you still stuck on the end of this chapter when God has said to be continued and has already turned the page? And then grave spices in hand, they remember his words and the idea that the story is to be continued becomes a possibility, a radical possibility. Maybe the story isn't over. Maybe Jesus isn't supposed to be here in this tomb because he's the Lord of life. He's not a the end God, but a to be continued God, a God who will not be defeated, a God content with only one end to the story, love and life winning, all things new. So these women go from carrying grave spices to carrying the good news of Easter. And so, yes, women can be preachers because they were the first preachers on Easter. They go and share everything with the other disciples. Over the past 6 weeks, we've been focusing on Simon Peter. And he's there, of course. And Luke tells us that when all of them hear this news from the women, they think it's absolute rubbish. Peter has his doubts, I'm sure. And there's also a shred of hope there. There's a shred of hope. Peter left his business to follow Jesus. Peter walked on water. Peter spoke before he thought. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Peter was not there when Jesus died. Peter had his doubts about the women's story. And Peter still ran to the tomb. You see, even Peter's life was a to-be-continued story with the power of Jesus' resurrection. And once he gets there, and once he sees the linen cloths lying there behind in the grave, he goes back home filled with awe and wonder and amazement. Jesus' resurrection is a to-be-continued for the whole world. It is for Peter's story too, and it is for yours and mine also. And this story hits close to home, doesn't it? I imagine all of us have had moments, or may even now be in a moment when we feel like we're at the end. Story over, a place that feels like the end, or a place that feels dead, or maybe both. Hope in low supply, situation looking grim, hard to see how good will come from it, hard to squeeze out drops of light from the darkness, hard to see anything beyond the present reality. Maybe it's hard for us to conceive of transformation or new life for ourselves or for others or for our broken world. And just like those women and just like Simon Peter, we're confronted with a message that runs counter to what we've observed or what we've experienced. It seems too good, too strange to be true. Just like the women, we don't see the risen Christ in all of his glory. The women are told that Jesus has risen, but they do not see the risen Jesus himself. Not in this part, anyway. what they have is an empty tomb and a message. And that's what we have too. In the face of a world and messages and experiences that seem to revolve around death having the last word, we're confronted with a word of resurrection. You would think it would have been so much easier for Jesus to just walk out of that tomb, risen to new life, right when the women got there. But what we have is a word of resurrection in a world that lives and revolves around the idea that death is final, that actually, no, resurrection, life is final. We have a great big to be continued in a world that likes to say something is over. Then just like Simon Peter, we've tried our best. We've been trying to figure out faith. One minute we're faithful, the next minute we're confused, the next minute we're failing miserably. Maybe we even have a hard time believing this whole resurrection thing. But Peter still ran to the tomb with hope on his heels, thinking, could this really be true? Maybe you're here today wondering that. When it seems impossible, can we still run with hope anyway? Marveling at the thought that God might not actually be finished yet? Not even with us? Living in wonder about that a God of resurrection can reverse death itself, can change the world in us? We have a great big to be continued in a world that likes to say something is over. Jesus' resurrection means that life's end, life's center, life's orbit is God, is resurrection life. We're not living in a story headed for a tragic ending because even death could not end Jesus. So we have been set free from everything that traps us or threatens to undo us. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we know and trust that what is bad is not what is final, even if it seems bad and seems final. Because we look around us and we see bad. We look around us and we see the ends all over the place. But Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' victory of love and life over sin and death, darkness and evil, is God's refusal to let what is bad have the final word. So wherever or whenever you feel stuck or trapped or dead or dazed, wherever your past has told you that you'll never change, wherever you're lost in grief and hopelessness, dreams have died, life has passed you by, darkness closing in, dead end, a world tearing itself apart, you will find a risen Savior bringing forth new life. You will find a to be continued God because God is not satisfied with any ending that doesn't end in God. God is not satisfied with any ending that is not God. Death is not the end. God is. Fear is not the end. God is. Sin and evil are not the end. God is. Your failure and your brokenness are not the end. God is. Violence and hatred are not the end. God is. Failure and despair are not the end. God is. To be continued. Friends, Jesus defeated death. Do we not think that God is therefore able to make all things good and new? That the places of deepest pain and deepest despair and defeat and dismay and death and loss and suffering might be like a tomb about to be opened up, a stone about to be rolled away, a womb from which new life emerges. The New Testament witness is clear. Jesus' resurrection is God's pledge of total commitment to make everything right in God's creation. So living in light of resurrection, living in light of a God of resurrection, a to be continued God, is not a Pollyanna posture in the world. As theologian Leslie Newbegin once said, I'm neither a pessimist nor an optimist. Jesus Christ is risen. So this is not some kind of self-help mind trick to minimize sin and death and evil and suffering and dead ends and feeling stuck. No, this is the glaring truth of what God does with those things. God transforms them. Yes, sin and death and evil are real. Yes, we see and experience tragedy and pain and loss. Yes, we have our doubts. Yes, and Jesus Christ is risen. None of those things are the end of the story. God's eternal love and life are, resurrection and life are, to be continued. Yes, you've made mistakes. Yes, I've made mistakes. Yes, there are things that we're ashamed of, maybe even consumed with guilt over. Yes, and Jesus Christ is risen. None of those things are the end of your story or my story. God's eternal love and life are, resurrection and life are, and so to be continued. Yes, that family or this town or this community have been through hell. Yes, it's been broken down. Yes, and you know what I'm going to say. Help me out. Jesus Christ is risen. God is not finished yet. Something new is stirring. God can do a new thing. God can heal and reconcile. And so to be continued. Yes, our nation is more divided than ever. Yes, people unite around who hates the same people they do. Yes, we struggle to love our neighbors. Yes, we perpetuate systems of racial injustice. Yes, and come on, guys, it's Easter. Jesus Christ is risen. God is not finished yet. Something new is stirring. A new reality can emerge. Another chapter being written. God can do a new thing. Love can make a way. And so to be continued. Yes, this person's death was tragic. Yes, it was unfair. Yes, it came too soon. Yes, the grief is overwhelming. Yes, and tragic death is not the end of the story. What is bad is what not what is final. One day God will raise them up too, new and gloriously, and so to be continued. Yes, this dream died. Yes, this opportunity fell through. Yes, there is discouragement and despair and doubt. Yes, and it's not the end. Something new will emerge from the ashes, and so to be continued. Jesus' resurrection is proof that God will add a to be continued to the worst things until they end with God getting what God wants. Death and sadness undone, all things made new. If we're living in light of a to be continued world where Jesus has been raised from the dead, we cannot go back to life as it was. It's time to walk in newness of life. It's time to leave the grave clothes behind. Time to live like our terminus is not death, but life. Not sin, but God. God launches a new creation through Jesus' resurrection, and we get to be a part of that ourselves as people who have been brought from death to life. As people who ourselves are a walking, breathing, to be continued story. Even if you're wondering what to make of Jesus' resurrection, the power of his resurrection is available to you through the presence of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to live like it did happen. What is it to know the power of Jesus' resurrection in our lives today? Does Jesus coming out of the grave give us the power to come out of our graves too? To step out of darkness and sin and death, whatever else is holding us? Leave the grave clothes behind and step into new life? What would it mean to live like sin and death don't hold power over our lives? Like we really are free and loved and forgiven with a place prepared for us. What would it mean to hope and believe that when it all feels like the end, that it is not the end because the end is not bad or death, but life? To live like we're walking down the road toward resurrection and that moments of resurrection happen even now. To live like Jesus was the first step of God restoring and making all things new. What would it mean to live this life like people who are and will be raised to life? All I can say is to be continued. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.